our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program every Sunday, 7 o'clock. I'm Steve Day, and interviewing for 12-plus years.
Right in the middle of the 13th year, actually.
Yeah, it's going to Raleigh, and you love staying in the hotels and a lot of workshops.
I've been going to what we call the City Vision Conference, put on by the North Carolina League of Municipalities. I've been doing that almost every year since I've been mayor. It's always a very informative experience, but for the record, I do not love driving that 300-plus miles to Raleigh and then turn around and coming back, get new information, and learn something.
Your fourth workshop at Refresher Courses, and we'll start with this one, Taking Gifts, the Emollients Clause.
Every time you're elected as a public official in North Carolina, you're required to take a two-hour ethics training course. This is my fourth one.
And accepting gifts, that means that the tin of cookies is out. We can't give that to you.
The one thing I look forward to as a mayor at Christmas is there's a certain company, about two companies, that come to the town hall and they give to the mayor and to the staff and everything a tin of sugar cookies. I'm addicted to them. I just really love them. I cannot take those cookies and go home and eat with my wife. That would be an illegal contribution.
No.
But if we take the cookies and let all the staff and everybody in town hall partake of the cookies as a way of showing appreciation for the work they do, that's okay. There are certain things that are clearly violations of those clauses. For example, if a contractor wanted to take the board members or the mayor to Las Vegas before we voted on awarding a contract, of course that would be a violation, and of course we should always follow those statutes.
And Josh Ward, our town manager, attended meetings on town budgets.
Josh always wants to get the update on the budget development, especially as we're entering the new budget year. I was interested in risk management. Towns and counties are being caught in a lot of litigation now from different groups with police forces. There's a lot of things that need to be covered, policies, use of force. I took notes, called our police chief in, Chief Holland, Friday morning, and she went through all the things that we're doing and had a discussion with me, and I came away from that conversation thinking, with the chief's master's degree and her experience in education and training, she could have been teaching the course at the conference. Another area would be infrastructure. There was a lot to cover. And here's the theme in ethics or in risk management. The constant refrain was, when in doubt, consult your town attorney. We actually now have a law firm that is basically our town attorney, in that there's so many complex issues concerning land use, law enforcement, and have specialists that will look at any particular issue. That's not just Highlands. Throughout the state of North Carolina, municipalities are having to rely more and more on the legal services and guiding them to make sure they meet all the statutory requirements and legal requirements in operating a town. The other workshop that I went to, which was very interesting, was the use of artificial intelligence in municipalities and government agencies. What was emphasized at the workshop, and what Gibby Shaheen already does, reports, procedural manuals, of course, there'll have to be verification from a human staff person. Designs, we're looking at, for example, with our website, having an AI system where someone can ask a question about where they can find a particular document or section on our website.
Now, if I record 15 to 20 seconds of your voice, and
that's
I
right.
have 15 to 20 seconds of my voice, if we have the text, we can just generate the entire interview.
And they were talking about this, that like manning phones, you could have an AI system receive a phone and answer basic questions for people calling. The technology now, like you were saying, is so smooth and seamless that it's hard to tell whether you're talking to an actual person or AI. Mm-hmm. As the presenter said, will this replace humanity? No. there could be a divide of whether you are using artificial intelligence or you're not and being left behind. And I can see that trend. When you started using a computer in the 90s where they had spell checker and things like that, that was a basic entry level of.
I want to come up with an idea of a quantum time traveler. So I asked AI, how about quantum time traveling? And they gave me 27 pages, an outline plus 17 chapters that told me how to write the story that we now don't even have to think or feel. We just have to ask a question.
Here's where I think it can be used with our town. We have meetings, we have notes, we have reports. After being mayor for over a decade, I can't remember exactly when and exactly what documents we produce, but using AI, instead of asking the town clerk to spend, you know, hours going back trying to find a particular instant where we made a decision or something, and I'll just segue into it, we're looking at what is our policy on maintaining general fund reserves? What level should we be doing, and have we had a policy that sets that? I would love to have AI to come back right now and say, this is when you did it, this is what you said, and as we start looking at the property tax implications that the legislature could pass in this session.
You went to the Mayor's Association meeting, and you're tracking legislation, the town's ability, and so many town commissioners are coming in line saying, we don't want the state to tell us that we can't control our own destiny with property tax increases.
That was a big topic. All the mayors were in unison. What's going to happen in this legislative session that could impact a municipality or a county's ability to raise property taxes? And it's ironic now they're saying, well, we think you're raising the tax rate too much and we might put a stop to that. I don't know how those services then get provided and schools get funded. The response I got was, right now, people at the league that track the progress of these are uncertain as to what will be the final outcome at the end of this legislative session. They think they will adjourn in June. My experience now as an old mayor saying, those projections sometimes can get out of hand and they could go all the way into the fall. We will be having a special budget meeting, I believe, this Tuesday. Of course, we'll put out a public announcement when and where that meeting will take place. Topic of that meeting will be, should the town go ahead and increase property taxes in anticipation of having a limitation on what we can do, or should we just wait and see? I will point out that we have not raised property taxes in 12 years. While they're trying to stop our ability to raise property taxes, I would implore them to finalize a budget. They were supposed to have a budget in last year's session in 25. That didn't take place. Pass the budget and then adjourn in June and come back home.
Do your job. That's what I said on the air the other day. Well, and really, isn't that their job to actually have a state budget every year on time?
Think about the federal government. They haven't had a comprehensive budget. The counties, the towns, we have a requirement, and the requirement is every year by July 1st, you're supposed to have a balanced, passed, approved budget that goes into place. And we have a watchdog called the North Carolina Local Government Commission. The voters have the final say-so on the actions that we take on behalf of the town and for the people. So we'll see how this all turns out in the coming months. It should be a very interesting time in the state of North Carolina.
I went to the Highlands Pharmacy and somebody saw me going in and said, would you please ask the mayor how we can save the small town pharmacies?
Steve, we've talked about this before, and I've been working with Sherry Sims, our pharmacist at the Highlands Pharmacy. She's very concerned about this. The big pharmaceutical companies that provide drugs, and we have the big insurance companies. they have kind of partnered together with these plan administrators to control the price that they are paying out for certain medications. In conjunction with that, you have all the big chain providers like CVS, Walgreens, that are in this big super network. The little small hometown pharmacists, they've been left out of that, to where Sherry will say, there's certain drugs that when I go to buy them, it'll cost me more than I can actually charge the customer to acquire that drug. I want to provide a prescription for someone, but in many cases, I'm barely making a few cents or a dollar or so, and I can't keep doing that. And all the small pharmacists have been trying to get the state and the federal government to address this issue, which favor big networks and big metropolitan areas. In the state, there was a bill that would have addressed this issue and level the playing field. I thought it was going to be solved at the federal level, but in one of those big tax legislation bills, it was in there that would change and level the playing field. That is a good way to do this because it becomes across the nation consistent. This is the way this will work. Sherry and I were optimistic it was going to be passed. But you know how Washington works? At the last minute, with all the horse trading and dealing, that provision in that bill was pulled out. Maybe I need AI. That's been suggested. AI would help keep up with all the bills and where they are. Tracking legislation will be something that these new AI programs will be able to do quickly and efficiently.
I can't see Grandma or Grandpa driving down to Clayton or Franklin just to get their medication.
There's a concern that small rural hospitals throughout the country will be closing, more of them will be closing. So many have already done so. And then that isolates people that aren't living in metropolitan areas. Same thing with drug access. Very difficult and complicated.
Well, we had some good news this past weekend. We had 2 inches on one day, and then about 0.8 to 0.9, so almost 3 inches of rain. The fire ban has been dropped?
Our operators have been tracking the situation and said that we were still pumping enough water, but this is really welcome news to see more water coming. I qualify that, though, with the fact that 3 inches is good, but we need 10 or 11 more to really catch up. And as we go toward the end of summer, which is normally a kind of a dry period, I hope that we've made up enough to avoid being right back in a fire danger and a drought situation.
I wanted to ask you about the headlines in the papers. Commissioners weigh in on a citizen's request to scrap the town's 2022 comprehensive plan.
I read that article. I thought it was well written. And here's my response. I'm not for scrapping that plan. Do we need to address certain parts of it and see what we can do to improve? Always, yes. We paid almost $100,000 for a company to come in, did surveys, they did focus groups, they interviewed stakeholder organizations, and they collected all of this information and data and then produced a comprehensive plan. The town board did not write the plan. The process that was followed was, I think, a great way to involve many voices in the communities. Just because maybe one group might not like the plan or think that the plan's causing certain development issues or zoning issues they're not pleased with, that's not a reason to eliminate the comprehensive plan. In my opinion, we should not be redoing the new comprehensive plan.
Every week, our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program with our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor and Steve Day. And next, coming online to WHLC.com.